Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Matthew chapter 13 this morning. Matthew chapter 13. We're going to read verses 10 through 17 today as we see this little conversation that takes place between the disciples and the Lord concerning the meaning of the parable of the hearer, or the parable of the sower, as it has been called. They wanted to know the meaning behind, and they have some questions for the Lord, and one of them is a big one. And I hope that we can bring this out today. The title of my message today is Reveal and Conceal. Reveal and Conceal, as the Lord explains to them why He spoke in parables. The disciples ask Him in verse 10, and the disciples came and said unto Him, "Why speakest Thou unto them in parables?" Now, what is interesting here is that these disciples didn't know the meaning of the parables either. So how do they phrase this? Well, why do you speak to them in parables? Speaking about all the people that were out there, they're hoping that He's going to give an answer to them because they didn't understand it either. But they didn't want to be identified, per se, with that group of people. They wanted to come across like, we know what you were talking about, Lord, but why do you speak in parables to them? We're going to look at this in just a few moments because this is very important to show you how the human heart works. Verse 11, He answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them." Father in heaven, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the privilege that we have to possess a copy of the Scriptures. There are people, literally thousands of different speaking groups, that do not have the Bible in their speaking language. They don't have a copy of the Scriptures. Many of them don't even have a written language. But Father, You've given us the privilege of owning a copy of the Scripture, and so many times we're not found reading it. Many times our Bible sits in the same place on the shelf, and we pick it up every Sunday as we head back to church. Lord, we need to be people of the book. We need to be able to see and to hear and to understand Your Word. But Lord, we learn from this passage that there are those that will not see and will not hear and will not understand because they've chosen so. I pray that You would work in our hearts today. I pray that we would indeed be people who seek to know the truth, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I pray that Your Holy Spirit today would be at work in hearts and lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the disciples were somewhat mystified by why the Lord was speaking in parables. Now go back to chapter 11 very quickly. Back to chapter 11 and verse 25 for just a moment. Because I want you to see that Jesus is doing exactly what He said He was going to do. Verse 25, "At that time." Now that's a very technical phrase in the original language here. It means this is an important turn of events. "Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from whom? The wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes." In other words, the Lord was saying, I'll be glad to reveal it to those that are babes, that know and understand they need what I have to give. But I will withhold from those that think they see, that are prudent and wise. I'm going to withhold that from them because they're wise and prudent in their own hearts. They don't see that they need me. They don't understand that they need me. As a matter of fact, these same people would be the ones that would crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. The people who would not hear, the people who would not see, the people who would not understand. The Bible says they were the ones that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in essence, what the disciples were asking here was this. Why do you bother saying anything to these people if you do not explain it to them? Now, that's what they're saying here. If you're not going to explain what you're saying, why do you even bother? Now, think about this for just a moment. Here is the infinite ruler of the world standing in their presence. The God of creation. The Lord that came to earth and took upon Himself flesh and dwelt among them at that time. They're asking Him, why do you bother? Now, let me just say this. I don't think the disciples understood fully. I don't believe they understood fully that they were standing in the presence of greatness. Standing in the presence of greatness. I remember reading the story of Teddy Roosevelt back over 120 years ago, went outside of his home in New York called Sagamore Hill. And he had invited a very well-known ambassador of that time to come to his house for dinner. And so Theodore Roosevelt, after he was done, said, let's go outside. It was dark then. It was about 7:30, 8 o'clock. So about that time, the sun had already gone down. They went out in the front yard of Sagamore Hill, and he encouraged the ambassador, said, look up, please. And he looked up, and Theodore Roosevelt began to name, you know, Pegasus, and Orion the Mighty Warrior, and all the different star structures, and gave the technical names for them. And the ambassador just stood there in awe of Teddy Roosevelt's ability to be able to know all of those things and so forth like that. And then Teddy Roosevelt looked over at the man and he said, now that we know exactly how small we are, let us go retire for the evening. And the ambassador stood there and said, sir, if you don't mind, I want to stay here a little longer. I need to really know how small I am. Now, here were two men. One was the President of the United States. The other an ambassador from another country. They went outside in the dark, looking up into the heavens. There were no street lights back in those days. Just nothing but darkness and the bright lights of the sky. And they realized there that though they were great on earth, they were very small compared to whom? God and His creation. Now, folks, we need to understand that we live in the presence of greatness. Who is here with us in this room right now? I think sometimes we forget our God consciousness. Right now, in this room, is the presence of God Almighty. We are sitting in His presence, and He knows every thought that's going through your mind right now. He knows who's paying attention. He knows whose minds are as far away from church as they can get. He knows those that are thinking about what we're going to have for dinner when we get home. We have those that are thinking about, when is Pastor Brainerd going to get done today? Is he going to go over today? Okay. We're thinking about things that in the expanse of time and eternity don't amount. Do you think that it really matters that you're going to have roast beef and baked potatoes when you get home today? In 10 years, what did you have on Sunday, April the 17th? I don't know. I don't remember what I had yesterday. But we're thinking about it right now. Why? Because we don't have an understanding. I think this is true of all of us, and I include myself in this. We don't really get a hold of the fact that we are in the midst of greatness all the time. We are in the midst of God and His universe, and we live as if He's not there. Isn't that right? We just make decisions and choices all day long as if God didn't exist. We go and buy and sell and do all kinds of stuff, and God never gets consulted. Many people believe, well, we've got money. God just expects us to do our own thing. No, He doesn't. He expects you to talk to Him. Do you know He's in charge of all things? Do you understand this morning that you're sitting with a copy of His Word in your lap and that you're hearing from God eternal, the great I Am, and we dare to let our minds just wander about and flitter about and do all kinds of stuff like that? You say, well, that's just the way we are. Well, guess what? We have the presence of the Holy Spirit in our heart and life so that we can get in tune with His Word and listen for 40 minutes. This is so important. These disciples are standing there, and the God of creation, the one that was there and spoke the worlds into existence, and they said, why do you bother? If you're not going to explain it, Jesus, why do you bother? And He explains to them why He did what He did. God chooses to do that, but I think it's important for us to see God's side of things and our side of things. And our side of things, we don't do very good. We don't listen like we ought to. We don't realize where we are in the presence of God Almighty 24/7. And then we question God with questions that are so short-sighted and so worldly because we haven't listened to the good book. Listen as the Lord Jesus Christ explains to His disciples why He spoke in parables. Reveal and conceal. Reveal and conceal. Twofold reason that He gives here. Let's look here in this passage of Scripture at verse 11. He answered and said unto them. Now think for just a moment. God deigned to answer their flimsy little question. Boy, God is so good. He didn't chew them out. He didn't bawl them out because of their lack of faith at this particular moment. He's going to do so a little bit later on about their weakness and faith because He had taught them so many things and some of them weren't getting it. But He says to them in verse 11, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. To them it is not given. He gives three words here concerning reveal and conceal. The first one was a word about parables. A word about parables. Jesus Christ gives a twofold reason for His speaking in parables. Number one, to reveal truth to those who would receive it. To those who willed to receive it. I use this illustration quite often when I'm dealing with students that come to me and they say, I want to be saved, Mr. Brainerd. And I often will take an object that I have on my desk and I said, I'm going to give you this. Sometimes I have a little booklet that I'm going to give to them after I've dealt with them, their soul. And I'll set it up there. I said, I'm going to give that to you. And I'll continue on. And I'll stop a little bit. And I said, by the way, that's a gift to you. I want you to know that. And then at the end of our conversation, I said, is that yours? Well, Mr. Brainerd, you said it was mine to take. And I said, when does it really become yours? And they'll think for just a moment, and then they'll say, when I take it. And I said, but then when is it really yours? When I take it and I start to read it. And I said, when is it really yours? And they think for just a minute, and you can see the wheels going. When I follow what's in the book. Okay? It's not really yours until you receive it into your heart of hearts and it changes you. And you're not the same person anymore. It's not really yours when you just have a head knowledge and there's no life, there's no transformation, there's no change. But when it's really yours is when you receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ and it comes within and it transforms you and makes you a new creature and old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. That's when it's really what? Yours. I could offer a person a gift. Birthday time. You know, whenever we were kids, we had a few birthday parties where we got to invite people over. And I remember that on my 10th birthday, 1974, that tells you how old I'm getting to be. I can identify with Mr. Woods when he was talking about age. I was out umpiring on Friday on field two, and there was a grandpa standing over there and said, "Ball's in." And one of the outfielders threw the ball, and the coach wasn't watching and just whapped him right in the chest. And so he was a grandpa, and so he was kind of stunned there for a moment. So I walked down there to check on him to see if he was all right. And I said, "Sir, are you all right?" And he said, "No, I'm old." "No, I'm old." And I took my hat off and I pointed to my gray hair. I said, "That makes two of us." He said, I didn't have time to react. "You said, I heard you say it, and I wasn't paying attention," and whoosh, boom. He said, "My problem is I'm old." He said, "I'm going to go back over here and sit in the dugout behind the screen. That way I won't get hit." And we chuckled a little bit and went on about that. I know what that means a little bit. I'm getting that way myself. But you know what? Jesus says to the disciples, "I will reveal it to those that want to receive it, that want to take the gift." I can have a present wrapped up, and it can sit there for years. And I can say, "That's my present." But if I never open the gift, it's not mine. You see, ownership requires responsibility and accountability. Ownership. I take ownership of that gift. I rip open the paper. I open it up and I see it's a shirt. All right? And I take that shirt and I hang it up in my closet. And then one day I reach and said, "Hey, I got that for my birthday. I think I'll wear that today." And I take that shirt and for the very first time, I take ownership of it. You understand where I'm coming from here? I put it on and I button it up, and now that shirt is mine because I put it on. It doesn't mean much hanging up in a closet. And when it comes to truth, Jesus Christ says, "I will give my truth to those who will take it and appropriate it into their lives." It's for you to know, disciples. It's not for all of them to know because of the fact that they don't want to know at this time. They don't want to hear. They don't want to see. They don't want to understand. And that brings us to the second principle, and that is conceal. You have reveal to those who want to receive it, and you have conceal to those who do not receive it. Now notice this, please. Look at verse 11. "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath." Now the Lord is establishing here a universal principle that we need to know. That if you have life in him, you will have abundance and you will have wisdom and you will have knowledge to be able to live the Christian life. But if you do not have life, whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Now think about the parable of the talents. We won't have time to turn and look there, but you think about the parable of the talents. What did the last servant do with his talent? Okay, he was given one. What did he do? He went into his backyard, dug a hole, and he buried it. All right? And then when the owner came back, he asked for an accounting. For those that took accountable responsibility for the money that was given to them, you had one that went out and he invested that money and he brought in double what was given to him. The other servant brought in double what was given to him. He invested it and used the Lord's money for a purpose. But what did the servant do with the talent that was given to him? The investment, the gift that was given to him. He went and buried it. And what did the owner say to that servant? why didn't you take that and at least go down to the bank where it could earn interest? At least it would have brought benefit. But because you buried it in the yard, I have received nothing. You have received nothing. Because they did not take the talent and invest it and use it for God's glory. Now that's what God does with His truth. He's given His truth. And those that don't want it, that bury it in the backyard, it's going to be what? It's going to be taken away from you. You're not going to have it. Oh, this is played out all across the world every day. People are slipping off into eternity. People who had the truth, and buried it in the backyard. Now, this is the picture. Reveal and conceal. Reveal to those who desire and want the truth, and conceal from those that do not want the truth. Now, this universal law must be understood because it's the explanation of the gift of truth. You see, folks, we're living in the information age. We're not living in the truth-receiving age. We're living in the information age. We have more information. We've got our smartphones. We carry them around with us, and we've got all kinds of things on there. I've even got a message on here from somebody that posted on there. And, you know, we've got information always at our thing. Someone says, what's the weather tonight? I pull out my smartphone. Boop, 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 boop. I got it up there. I know exactly what they say is going to take place. We can't trust it in Florida. Things change by the minute here. They said we weren't going to play baseball on Tuesday night. We did, because the Lord held the weather off so we could be able to do that. But we have information at our grasp all the time. And what did the Bible say about that at the end time? Ever learning, but not able to come to the knowledge of the what? Truth. You see, folks, we are busy, busy, busy with information. We think that we're owed an explanation about everything. And a lot of people cannot accept what the Bible says about themselves, that they're a sinner, that they're in need of the Savior. They can't accept that truth, but they want to know the information behind it. Always looking for information. Information will damn your soul to hell. What you need is the truth. That's what you need. And that's what the world rejects. Marvel not if the world hates you, for it hated me first, the Lord said. We don't want the truth. We want information. We want to learn. But we do not want the truth. And that's why the Lord said over and over again, verse 9, who hath ears to hear, let him what? Yeah. Those notice, please, that hath ears to hear. They have a desire for truth. If you have a desire for truth, listen, and I will impart that truth to you, Jesus says. But if you don't have ears to hear, I'm withholding. I will conceal the truth from you. Now let's go on here. There are treasures that are given to us in the Word of God. Unbelievable treasures. You know, they found not too long ago off the coast of Florida a ship that had sunk, and they found millions and millions of dollars worth of silver and gold coins. They have it designated. It's not on the map anywhere. They're trying to keep it a secret because they believe that there's more treasure. And they're vacuuming it up. They've been going through and just vacuuming the sand and pulling up all kinds of different things, because when the ship broke apart and went to the bottom, most of that stuff opened up. It's been sitting there for hundreds of years. People want that because it's what? It's precious. It's gold. It's silver. It's money. They want that. And Jesus compares His truth to treasure. Don't you want the treasure? But the world looks at that and says, that's not treasure. That's not anything close to treasure. Therefore, I want nothing to do with it. Understand what you're doing. You are rejecting God's love. You are rejecting God's help, and therefore you're rejecting hope in your behalf. And you will continue on your pathway of life, ever searching for knowledge, but walking away from truth. And as you walk away from the truth, the darkness and the blindness will grow darker and darker and darker. I heard yesterday, I was watching a program, and an individual was talking about his experiences being a house inspector. He said, I went to a house. They said part of the house was sagging down. So he said, I went underneath to look, and it was pitch black. He said, I got down in there, and I said, I made my way. I could see with a little bit of light that was behind me. And then I turned on my light, and he said, I saw a whole bunch of eyes, and it was snakes. Okay? A mama snake had just given birth, and there were all these little snakes, and they were just embroiled all around the mother. And that, he said, all I saw was the big one coming at me. And he said, I took off, and he said, I went through a little hole. He said, I don't know how I did it, but he said, I shot through there. And as I shot through the hole, my buddy was standing on the other side and said, what's going? And he stopped in mid-conversation because that snake came out right after him. I mean, that mama snake was mad. And he said, they took off running. He said, that snake was after them. He said, we had to run to the truck and got my shovel. He said, I killed it. And he said, all I could think about, he said, there's probably 15 more still underneath the house right there. I'm not going back under there. Until they bring somebody in to exterminate, I'm not going back down there. There may be a papa snake. That's all he could think about. And it was kind of funny as he told that story of going through that little hole that he didn't think he could fit through. He said, I shot through it like it was nothing. Why? Because there was a snake after him. He didn't see it in the dark. What had to be turned on? And you don't see things either. You might think in your heart, man, I've got this. I've got life by the tail. But what you're going to find out is on the other end, there's a mouth with teeth in it. And you're going to get bit. You may not see it right now. You may not experience it right now. But it will be played out in your life. Just that, like that man crawling down underneath that house. He'd done it 1,000 times before doing a building inspection. Flips on the light and all he sees is eyes back up underneath there. And one moving toward him. And then it was, all he had to do was run. Try to get away from it. Let me tell you something, folks. Sometimes you can get away from it. Sometimes God in His grace will save you. But the longer you go, and the more you reject, and the less you hear, and the less you see, and the less you understand, what happens? You get to the point of hardness where then you can't escape. Then you can't get away from it. Treasures that are not accepted as treasures. Then he has a word about prophecy. Look at verses 14 and 15 here. There's a word about parables. He tells why. He said, I have a twofold purpose, reveal and conceal. And then in verses 14 and 15 here, we have a word about prophecy. He goes back to the Old Testament to show that what's happening that day in Israel with him was prophesied by Isaiah. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross. That simply means contaminated. Contaminated. It's gotten so convoluted and contaminated by sin that they just can't see anymore. They can't understand. Their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart. And here's the key word. And be what? Converted. Now here we find the reason. Why is there reveal and conceal? Because there are people on the earth whose eyes are blinded, whose ears are wax dull, whose heart will not understand because they will not be converted. That's a powerful word in the Bible. Powerful word. When we were growing up, they used to have conversion vans. You don't see those anymore. I think Mr. Woods is driving the last surviving example of the conversion van. I don't know. But back in when we were kids, they used to have Mark V van conversions down in Orlando. You could actually drive by on I-75 and you could see it. You know what's there today? It's closed. It went out of business. They stopped making them. But they used to have these conversion vans, and you would buy a stock vehicle take it down there to Mark 5. They would take that and completely convert it depending on how much money you had, how much money you wanted to spend. And boy, they had some fancy ones. They had captain's chairs in it, and they had a refrigerator, and they had all kinds of neat things. And that old work van, when you first took it in, didn't look like that when it came back. It came back with carpeted on the walls and window coverings and all kinds of neat things that were there. And they called them what? Conversion vans. Because they had been changed. They would cut the roofs out of them. They would add these fiberglass tops on the top where you could actually stand up inside of the vehicle. And you had extra storage space, and sometimes even put a cab over the top of the front where you could actually have a bed on top. They had all kinds of things that you could do with a conversion van. They had changed it. These individuals here refuse the change that God brings. They want nothing to do with the change that God brings. Verse 14 and 15. Their eyes are blind. They're closed willfully. Their ears are dull. Their hearts are waxed gross. Because they will not be converted, that I should heal them. He takes us to the surgical ward here in the Old Testament. And we're going to close with this. That I should heal them. Here I have the means whereby I can fix your problem. Maybe you have to go to the surgeon. Maybe there's something going on. Maybe there's a tumor, or maybe there's something that needs to be repaired internally. And you tell the doctor, I'm sorry, I'm going to do it myself kit at home. And, you know, I don't need your expertise. I know you're a doctor and you went to 8 years to medical school. And you know all this kind of stuff, but I'm going to do it myself. All right? Now let me ask you something. How successful are they going to be? And I wonder where that tumor is after they open themselves up and begin to bleed, and they don't have all that do-it-yourself kits not helping them any, and they don't have any knowledge. They're going to bleed to death, and they're going to die. You don't go to stores or at Walmart or Sears or any of those other stores and buy a medical do-it-yourself kit. You won't find them anywhere, will you? Because those are left to the care of a doctor that knows what they're doing. Who this morning are you leaving the care of your soul to? Who are you leaving the care of your soul to? Israel said, we don't want the great physician. We'll do it ourselves. 70 A.D. comes, almost 35 years after Jesus Christ leaves this world. 35 years later, they come in and sweep in and they wipe basically Israel off the map. And from 70 A.D. to 1948, Israel was not a country. You want to know what do-it-yourself stuff will do? You know what it did for Israel? It snatched them away from being a significant nation within the world, which they had been up to that time until they were taken over by the Romans. But when the Romans came in and they just cleaned up, they destroyed the temple, they destroyed the walls of the city, they rendered it nothing. And from 70 AD to 1948, they were not a nation. Britain, after World War I, said, all right, we're going to let you have some of this land back. A little tiny sliver they got back. In 1967, 1973, they expanded their borders. And the world has hated them ever since. They're not in the land in belief. They're still an insignificant and hated nation to this very hour because of reveal and conceal. God could not reveal to this nation because they didn't want it. They didn't want the truth. And history, all you have to do is read your history book. History records the result of a people that God conceals His truth from. They're relegated to almost third world status, hated by every Muslim country. Even today, in our own country, a hatred for the Jewish people. Why is that? It's satanically inspired but it's because the nation of Israel chose that pathway. Do it yourself. You can't do it yourself. If you're here today without the Savior, the truth of God is laid out in His precious Word. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The great physician calls. I have what you need. I can fix your soul. I can change your life. I can make you a new creature. The question is, who is going to tend to your soul? Is it going to be you? That's not going to turn around. Let's look at the last chapter of that book. It doesn't end well. Let us pray. Father in heaven, work in our hearts. Lord, we don't want to go down the pathway that Israel went. Israel had rejected the truth, and therefore Christ concealed from them the truth that they needed. Lord, I pray that we would not come to that place. Lord, it's so easy to think we can do it ourselves. We can make it ourselves. We can carve out a life in this world. But all we get is heartache and difficulty and trial and consequences because we have rejected. We are pursuing information but not pursuing the truth. Lord, I pray that You'd work in our hearts today. I pray that Your Holy Spirit would draw precious souls unto Yourself, and I pray that You'd work in the hearts of Christians that are here today. Oh, it's so easy to start doing things ourselves. We begin to think, I'm smart enough. I can do this on my own. I don't need God. Oh, what foolish and idle talk. Because the Lord will soon bring them to their senses if they're His child. And they'll realize how foolish it was to go down the road of self-improvement. Do it yourself. Reveal and conceal. You reveal Your truth to those who have a heart that want to receive it. But You conceal Your truth from those who do not. Lord, this is a universal principle that's been established in this world. It cannot be denied. It cannot be rejected without consequences. I pray that You would work in our hearts for us to understand it. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.